From KCRW, I'm Michael Schneider, executive editor of IndieWire, filling in for Kim Masters, and this is The Business.
You can't really explain it. Can you imagine me pitching this film to people?
There's this horse, see?
I'm Chinese, so I met this guy.
When director Chloe Zhao met horse trainer Bridie Jandrew on the Pine Ridge Indian Reservation, she knew she wanted to put him in her next project, but she just wasn't sure what that would be. Then Jandrew, a rising rodeo star, suffered a devastating riding accident. Zhao saw his story and the aftermath of that injury as fodder for a film called The Rider. But financiers didn't agree. She ended up paying for the movie herself. Zhao and Jandrew tell Kim Masters how they made this extraordinary film on a shoestring budget. Zhao explains what drew her to South Dakota in the first place. And Jandrew describes the experience of acting with his dad, his autistic sister, and real rodeo friends, none of whom have ever been in a movie before. But first, on the News Banter, Amazon releases numbers, but what do they really mean? Stick around, it's The Business on KCRW. I am joined by our partner in banter, Matt Bellany of The Hollywood Reporter. Hello, Matt.
Hi there.
So, Matt, we're always begging for numbers from the streaming services, and Amazon did give us something this week. They finally revealed that Amazon Prime has 100 million paying members. But, of course, the majority of those people, they're looking for free shipping, right? They're not actually watching The Marvelous Mrs. Maisel.
Right, and that's the big question, is how many people on Amazon Prime are actually watching the shows? And I believe, and analysts believe, and I think if you talk to people walking down the street, that the majority of people are not looking at the video on Amazon Prime. They are there for cheap diapers or free shipping or whatever it is that they want out of Amazon. And that is a big deal because it goes to the difference between what Amazon is doing and what Netflix is doing. And Netflix, we saw this past week, shot past 125 million worldwide subscribers. And those people are there just for video. Netflix doesn't have any other products or lures. It's just the content.
Yeah, and we know now at Amazon Prime, under new Amazon Studios head, Jennifer Salke, that they're trying to change that. They're bringing in some big, big properties, like an adaptation of Lord of the Rings, which is reportedly going to be one of the biggest, most expensive TV productions in history. So they're looking to change all this, but they still have a branding issue for the first part. You still don't really know where to find the video. What is Prime Video versus Prime? It's going to take a lot, I think, to really get people to start looking at TV and thinking of Prime as a TV service.
I agree. And I wonder now, with Apple getting into this market as well, whether Apple is looking at Amazon to try to take some lessons from what they have done right and wrong. I mean, they got a lot of Emmy attention and awards with Transparent and some of their early shows. But in terms of creating a mass market television product, I think Amazon really has struggled, given the commitment they have made to doing this in terms of billions of dollars. And Apple, again, has a different business model. The Apple model is selling hardware mostly. They really want to sell Apple television, and they know that having a compelling content to put on Apple TV will distinguish it and allow them to charge higher prices. And that's what they did with iTunes a decade ago with music. And I think that's what all indications are, that Apple is going to drive the hardware sales business with their content initiative. And we're going to start to see that into next year.
And of course, Disney is prepping its own big streaming service as well for television. So a lot to change in this landscape in the coming months and years. Now, Matt, why don't we turn to the film world real quick? Bill Mechanic, who is a former Fox studio chief, he was behind big features like Titanic, resigned from the board of directors of the Academy of Motion Picture Arts and Sciences last week, and he did it in a most spectacular fashion.
Yes, he sent a blistering memo to the president of the Academy, essentially outlining all of his grievances and frustrations, saying, "I have failed, we have failed." He says that the Academy shouldn't necessarily be in the business of building a giant, expensive museum that is far over budget and late on deadlines. He challenges the effort to diversify, citing an internal conversation in which one board member suggested not allowing any white males into the Academy. He essentially takes them to task for all of the various initiatives that they have put in place over the last 3 to 5 years, especially in the wake of the Oscar So White controversy. And it'll be interesting how the Academy responds to this, especially the CEO, Dawn Hudson, who is specifically called out for some of her efforts and what he believes is, you know, stacking the deck of the Academy to promote her specific agenda.
Yeah, I think the one thing that he griped about that everyone can agree upon is that the Oscar telecast has gotten so dull and so boring. But some of the other things that he pointed out, pretty incendiary, and also sort of a reflection of the generational gap, perhaps, between the old guard and the new guard inside the Academy.
Absolutely. It's fascinating because the Academy has been so old and so white and so male for so many years. And over the past 5 years, they have done this pretty breathtaking initiative to diversify. And there are many factions of the Academy that like that. And there are some that have been skeptical of that, among other changes that Dawn Hudson has brought. And I think this memo that Bill Mechanic wrote is the best distillation I have seen of that split within the Academy. And I don't think that's going away. And we'll see how the organization adapts.
Yeah. Well, I think a lot of people would argue that there's nothing wrong with trying to be a little more diverse and being conscious of these things, that it isn't just an industry issue. It is an Academy issue, and it's a societal issue as well.
No, Dawn Hudson has been open about that. There's no hiding the goals that they have put in place. They want to radically change the Academy and be a leader on these issues of inclusion and of creating a code of conduct to combat sexual harassment. And all of these things that they have done over the past 5 years that the Academy has sort of stayed out of until now. And I think that's a reflection of how the industry is changing, especially over the past 6 months in the wake of the Me Too movement. They want to be at the forefront of this. And it is something that a lot of members of the Academy don't believe that this organization, which is designed to promote the art of movie making, should be in the business of doing. And that's the split in opinion.
Yeah. I think we can also all agree that it would be nice for this Academy Museum to finally open already. Thanks so much, Matt.
Thank you.
That's Matt Bellany, editorial director of The Hollywood Reporter. The new film, The Rider, follows horse trainer and one-time rodeo star Brady Blackburn as he grapples with the aftermath of a terrible riding accident. Brady Blackburn is played by 22-year-old Brady Jandrew, who, like his character, lives on the Pine Ridge Indian Reservation in South Dakota and grew up training horses and competing in rodeos. 2 years ago, he suffered the same devastating head injury as seen in the film. In The Rider, we see movie Brady out of a job and his father forced to sell the beloved family horse, Gus. Against doctor's orders, Brady takes Gus on one final ride and says a quiet prayer to his companion.
God, I just ask you to take care of Gus on his travels, Lord. Just be with him all the time and protect him. Keep him safe, God. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Kim Masters recently spoke to Jandrew and to the film's writer and director, Chloe Zhao. The Rider is Zhao's second movie. She's made both of her films on the Pine Ridge Reservation, but her personal story begins far away from the South Dakota plains.
So you were born in China, and you went to boarding school in London.
Brighton.
Oh, not London.
Brighton.
Okay.
England, small country.
England is a small country.
Yeah.
And I'm going to just rip through this part.
Sure.
That you move to New York, you wander about. One thing I really liked about your story, what I read, and you can correct it if it's wrong, you were just like not a particularly inspired student in school. And
very bad student.
Bad student.
Grades-wise, yeah.
And you just kind of, I don't know, stumbled or felt your way through. Yeah. And then this idea came to you to start being a filmmaker. Is this correct?
Not 100%. The timeline's right, but I did grow up. I just always wanted to tell stories for a living. It was through Japanese manga at first. And then I tried to be a writer, you know, study painting, photography. The film just made sense because I kind of don't have to be really good at anything.
Wow, you seem to be really good at something.
Well, you know what I mean? It's like you don't have to be the best cinematographer or best composer. Or you just have to know really great people and put a team together and have an idea of a direction.
And so you made this small film on this reservation. I guess you live on this reservation.
Yeah, the Pine Ridge Indian Reservation.
You're at Sioux?
Yeah, Lakota Sioux.
Lakota Sioux, okay. And I gather you decided that this was an interesting place to go and you went there. Is it that simple?
Actually, that's it. I just wanted to leave New York and go somewhere that's polar opposite.
What was the spark? Like this specific place. You wanted to be not New York, but
I
this
knew it
place.
Was going to be the plains because I can't swim, so being by the ocean scares me. The mountains scares me a little bit too, but the plains make sense to me. At that time, there was a lot of news on young people's struggle on Pine Ridge. That was the year where New York Times did stuff on it, National Geographic did things on it. So there's a lot of pictures came out of Pine Ridge, and it just caught my attention.
So you go there,
yeah.
And this is where you meet Brady.
Yeah, about 4 years later.
4 years,
yeah.
But you made a film there, yeah. First. You made Songs My Brothers Taught Me there, which I'm sure was a major learning experience, the financing, all of it.
Yeah. How did we actually had less budget on this movie than the last one. So if that's small, then this is small. Oh,
that's not how it's supposed to be.
Well, you know how
sometimes
how
the way
it goes.
It works.
Yeah, sometimes. Okay, so how long of a process was it to make the first film, and how was it financed then that you got to a place to make the second film?
3 years to try to get money for the first one, but ended up not be able to. So we shot the film with about a tenth of the budget. And then this one was quick. It was about 2 months of development and start shooting right away. And
2 months of development. Wow,
yeah.
That's fast.
Because the financing is in my own bank account and credit cards.
Oh, you self-financed this movie?
Mm-hmm. But to put it in a can. And then once we finished shooting the film, I put together a rough cut, and then we raised a lot more money for post to finish the film.
I mean, what sorts of things do you, if there's no effects?
You gotta fix everything because you gotta take stuff out because we're not really, we don't have a production designer. It's a 6-people crew, including me.
Whoa.
So we gotta, actually the effects is more like taking stuff out, you know, my big pink water bottle in the background, stuff like that.
So you meet 4 years later. You've made the first movie?
Yeah, it was already in theater, in theaters, quote unquote. You know, it's released. And then I went back to visit. That's where I met Brady.
I met Chloe on the Mule Shoe Angus Ranch, located near Sharps Corner, South Dakota, which is on the Pine Ridge Indian Reservation. And I came back up to South Dakota from Oklahoma, dropped out of college on a full ride rodeo scholarship to pursue my career in professional rodeo. And I needed a job, so I went back to work at Todd's Ranch, my cousin Todd. And a few weeks after I came to work there, she came back to research ranch lifestyle.
And there you were.
Yeah.
I have to say, and I'm sure I'm not the only journalist, I know nothing about rodeo life. When you ride, it's a job, you travel, and you can make a lot of money money?
Yeah, you can, depending on your success level, you know.
Yeah, I imagine it's a young man's game, right? Like, you can't do that.
There's also other events besides the rough stock riding events, such as the team roping. I know plenty of older guys that team rope. So
his dad does.
Yeah, my dad is 50 now, so he team ropes.
And it's like a family thing for a lot of these people, or is it like young guys going out, or young women?
It's a family in a sense, as a lot of times, you know, it's passed down from generation to generation, but also there's a whole rodeo family.
Right. People know each other and mm-hmm. meet up. And
yeah.
So of course, you had this horrible accident that is depicted in the film.
Yeah.
And I noticed you're riding horses in the film.
Yeah.
And are you not supposed to ride horses?
Well, so I decided a month and a half after my injury to start training horses again because I went broke and I wasn't going to do anything else. Like, okay, so they instructed me not to lift 10 pounds. Okay, well, your saddle you're lifting on is about 40 to 50 pounds. So
yeah, those
that
Western
in itself, just lifting the saddle on the horse was about 5 times exceeding the weight limit.
Right. But you did it anyway.
Yeah.
And you rode anyway.
Yeah.
And you just are okay.
I'm just okay.
Because in the film, you have some ill effects.
Well, I've had some things I've had to go through, you know, when I get to working too hard or the heat. But I've been getting better each day, it seems like. You know, so.
When was this? How long ago did the actual accident happen?
April Fool's Day of 2016.
That's a bad joke. It's only a couple of years ago, though. I mean, it's exactly a couple of years ago.
Just the anniversary of 2 years was just not too long ago. So. Mm.
I think I read that you, one of your interviews, you said, you know, people relate because everybody's been around horses at one point or another.
Or their ancestors, at least.
I mean, I used to ride a lot myself.
Oh.
English saddle. Does that not count?
It counts.
It counts?
If you've looked down the years, it counts.
I've looked down the years many times. But there was a point where I suddenly looked at that horse and thought, whoa, that is a big animal. And as you know better than anybody, they're spooky. You know, they can see a plastic bag blowing in the wind and decide to completely freak out.
Well, one plastic bag can blow by and then another one can blow by and then they could freak out. Right. Too,
it wasn't necessarily, they don't like the look of the second
yeah.
bag.
Yeah.
But I guess for you, it's just not a thing. You have that connection with the horses or what?
Yeah,
you did get hurt
by one. I just trust them. I just through my connection, I trust it enough. I have enough faith in myself and in the animals I work with that I don't feel in danger.
Were you a movie guy? Did you love movies before? Or you just were like, I'm busy in the rodeo?
Growing up, whenever we went to a grandparents' house, we always made sure we took our blank VHS. CRs. We call them VCRs.
Oh, CRs.
And recorded whatever we could get while we were there. And, you know, we'd watch that over the next month.
Stock up on films?
Try to. We didn't watch much TV growing up. Never had much time. I was always in sports. I was always busy working with horses, you know, or in school or trying to make it in the rodeo. And I mean, I've seen movies.
Right. I'm sure you have.
I have my favorite movies.
Which is? Which are?
One of my favorite movies is A River Runs Through It.
Mm.
Brad Pitt
right.
is in it. And another one, A Knight's Tale with Heath Ledger.
Yes, yes.
Probably my favorite movie is the series of Westerns, Lonesome Dove.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. That's really good.
Yeah, Comanche Moon, Streets of Laredo, so on.
Really good. So you Chloe, you meet Brady and you think, you see him with horses, I think is what happens. And you think there's something there that I want to make a story about. Is that correct?
Yes.
And then waiting for what is it?
When he got hurt.
They're sort of like reporters are like, oh, this is a good story.
Yeah, yeah,
sort of macabre, but nonetheless, you say,
yeah,
it's a good story.
So. Well, I've known him enough not to be tiptoeing around him. You know, when I find a good story, I'm going to say, let's do this one. This is a good one.
Coming up after a short break, writer-director Chloe Zhao tells us why cowboys make good actors, and Brady Jandrew explains how his father is, in reality, much different than the character he plays in The Rider. You're listening to The Business from KCRW.
Introducing the KCRW donation car, designed to be recycled. This first-of-its-kind vehicle will save you time, space, and hassle by disappearing. Enjoy the luxury and comfort of turning your underused car into a donation worth hundreds, even thousands of dollars. The KCRW donation car, already in your garage, driveway, or on cinder blocks outside your house. Act now at kcrw.com/cars.
This is The Business, and I'm Michael Schneider. We're listening to a conversation about the new movie, The Rider. Kim Masters recently spoke to writer-director Chloe Zhao and star Brady Jandrew. This is Jandrew's first film. Like the character he plays, he is a Lakota cowboy whose life was forever altered when a bucking bronco shattered his skull. In addition to Jandrew, Zhao also cast his real father, Tim, and sister Lily to play his family in the film. As the movie opens, Brady is just days out of a major surgery with a long visible gash running down his scalp. He's checked himself out of the hospital and later sees his father pulling up in his truck outside of their modest home on the Pine Ridge Indian Reservation.
What the hell are you doing here? You're supposed to be up there in the hospital. I seen Tanner at the bar. He said you escaped, huh?
Told you to check me out.
Well, the doctor said you're supposed to stay up there.
Give me a hug. Why don't you go inside and sober up?
Sober up? Let me see you rope that. What the hell? Can't you rope anymore?
So I'm trying to envision the conversation. I mean, who approaches Dad? Brady?
Yeah, my dad wasn't very hard to convince.
Yeah, he was like, woohoo, I'm going to be an actor.
Yeah, he's like, I got to be an ass.
Yeah,
but it was based somewhat on his real character, right?
No, my dad's a pretty good guy.
He's less of an asshole.
Yeah, he's not like that. You know, I believe every son probably has some sort of controversy with their father if they know them very well. You know, if they spend a lot of time working with them, like I have with my dad, and we get along pretty good for the most part.
You made him worse than he was, Chloe.
Yeah, because it's fiction,
right? But you know, there are people who are going to be like, that's his dad, and you have your sister who is autistic, and she's in it too. Mm-hmm. How is she to convince?
She always loved videoing everything, playing back, memorizing. She loves watching movies and TV, and A River Runs Through It is actually also one of her favorite films that me and her watch together very often. So Lily wasn't hard to convince at all. She's seen the camera, and she was like, all right.
Was it a challenge to direct her because, you know, she doesn't communicate in a conventional way?
Well, I've known Lily for about a year by then, so I know when she says, no, Chloe, she meant yes. I know when she gives me a hard time, she meant something else. And I know, and Brady also, you know, I trust him and Tim, his dad, they know also how to do a scene with Lily and what's funny for her and what isn't. And but also, you know, Lil knows exactly what we're doing. You know, mm-hmm. She would make it slightly difficult for me for good reason. You know, I tell her to say a line, but she would say how she would say it. But that actually adds so much more
authenticity
to the character.
Mm-hmm. But you said not gonna either?
Not gonna what?
Fucking horse anymore.
Maybe.
Oh, dear, that's terrible.
I'm not going to die.
Nope, I'm not going to die either.
Nope.
I'm staying alive.
And you were like, damn, that was good.
No, I'm literally jumping like, behind. Yes. I'm literally at Liz. Every time, so many times with Lil, I'm just like that.
So you were just like, this is better than what I had written.
Or, I didn't really write anything for her. I have in the script, her parts is just, you know, a situation. And where I would say, can you say something like that? And then
she says, no, Chloe.
No, Chloe. And she'll say something else. And then I'm like, oh, well, that's about the same thing. Yeah. Mm.
So that must have been a bit strange, though, playing those. I'm still trying to process that your dad was not upset about playing horrible. He's not actually horrible. He's a nuanced character.
People that play roles in movies that kill people.
Like,
you know,
war criminals.
But because it's you and because it's her father and because it's your sister, it starts to feel like, you know what I mean?
Well, my buddy Tanner in the film is very similar situation. Tanner's very nice, you know, like the most considerate person you'll ever meet. And he plays an ass in the film as well. So
I want to just make sure, because the authenticity is there, people sometimes think they're just being themselves. What I did find through my first film and this one as well, there's a lot of people who can act.
Yeah.
But there's also some of them who are just very talented actors, because one reason is because they're being very physical their whole lives. They're not in front of a computer and being very self-aware. There is that natural talent to be very present with another character in front of the camera. And it's very difficult for someone to point a camera at me and ask me to act and to not worry about the camera. But there is that, I did find there's quite a lot of young people that are very talented. And
amazing luck. I mean, that his dad showed up, and for a minute I thought it was somebody famous, and I was like,
that's cool.
And then I was like, well, you know, it's not that actor. But the dad.
He did excellent, though.
He really did.
Yeah.
My mom in China saw the movie, you know, it's translated into Chinese at Jia Zhangke's festival.
Oh, okay.
And she was sure that your dad is a Hollywood movie star.
Yeah, he has that presence. Yeah. So your friends, too, were all like, yep, we're going to be in a movie.
Well, we just, it was just very new to us, you know, so we didn't really have any idea what we were getting into. We just trusted Chloe, you know.
Yes. So you had to make money. So the way you worked this out, you trained horses in the day and the early morning, I guess, and then you'd go off and do the
thing. Some of those horses we'd ride again that evening in different scenes. Yeah.
When you're, you know, when the horses are bucking and so forth and so on, you're training the horses not to.
Yeah.
So these are horses that are like incorrigible. You cannot teach them not to do this.
Well, I mean, once a horse is to a certain age, they're pretty hard to train.
Yeah.
Right.
I mean, I've actually, like Apollo in the movie, it's a complete true story reenacted in the movie.
Oh, it's a sad story.
Yeah, very. But he was probably 8 or 9 years old when I started training him, which on rare cases, you know, you can get one like that to come around. I don't know very many other people who can, but I have been able to.
Horse Whisperer. So did you have another horse playing Apollo? Because
I had two horses playing Apollo.
Yeah.
So they looked a lot alike, I guess.
Mm. Yeah, the horse in the corral was the horse that actually had the backstory of you know, being damaged because of he was spoiled. He had gotten away. He had bucked people off. So a horse that has learned wrong, they'll be good sometimes. They'll always have that.
Little devil
them.
Inside.
They know they could get you if they need to.
Right. Now, another one of your friends is, I guess, Lane is your friend in the movie, right?
Yeah, Lane, me and him have been best friends since I was about 2 and he was 3 and literally inseparable, you know, closer than brothers in a way.
Now, in life, he was injured in a car accident.
Yeah.
But in the film, it's a rodeo accident.
The film never directly says anything about how Lane was injured.
See, when you leave enough space, people take what they
need.
Yeah. Right. So he's compromised by his injuries, mm-hmm. but you could explain to him, do you want to do this? And he was like, I'm in.
Yeah. Lane actually was going to do a bull riding reality show. He was in college when he was injured, and he was going to do it the following summer.
Oh, so
he was really game for it, you know. Lane has always been a showman.
Yes, he likes that camera. He signs to you in the film.
Yep, he signs letters.
You learned that for him?
Yeah, it's just 26 letters. Of course I would learn it for him. Well, as soon as Lane learned it, I learned it.
So you could communicate clearly.
Yeah.
So you went to Cannes, I guess, yes. And you won a big award. Art Cinema Award. Did you go to Cannes?
No, I didn't. My wife was close to 8 months pregnant.
Oh, yeah.
So we didn't want to risk anything.
Yeah.
And
I don't know if you missed something or not. Did he miss something? I've never been to the Cannes Film Festival.
It's a nice. We played at Kanzan, which is the director's fortnight.
Right.
And it's a very special sidebar. It's a family there. So it means a lot to me.
Yeah. So you set it up so people can share in the profit of the film, mm-hmm. Chloe?
It's just points. Actors get points. I guess it's just at the beginning, we just didn't think we were going to have any. I mean, we never expected anything like that.
So you don't want to count your chickens before
they're hatched. Yeah, we never even thought about points, stuff like that, didn't even talk about it. I didn't have a producer until the day of the shoot. I had my producer from last film fly in the day before the shoot.
Jeez.
To just like, because I was just going to do it myself. You know, it's just, I'm like, no, actually, I need to work with actors. I need somebody else to do that other stuff. But then when we made a deal with Sony, you know, it's not even just me. Even the company, Caviar, the producers, even my DP, you know, everybody, we all, it's a big family back then. We want to make sure that everyone gets something.
That's not the normal Hollywood way. You know that, right?
Brady,
usually those back-end points are worth nothing. They're worth nothing.
Yeah.
You say, I want first dollar gross, but, you know, that's what Brad Pitt gets.
The only reason why we did see some money is because we made the film so cheap. Like, the production budget was what's in my bank account at the time. So that's why we were able to.
Is it like, can you give me a ballpark?
I can't.
It's a secret.
No.
Not much, I assume.
Not much. Very low, but, you know, lower than my first one. That gave you a bit of an imagination.
And I'm wondering why. Like, you couldn't play the card of the first one being well-received to lure in more money people? No? Shaking your head?
Well, I guess maybe I don't want to say because I am who I am, the way I am. But I also, when you want to make films that's so, you can't really explain it. Can you imagine me pitching this film to people?
There's this horse, see?
I'm Chinese. So I met this guy. To be fair to the industry, we don't want to just demonize the industry. Financially,
that's my job, yeah.
Financially, it's been tough for everybody since 2010 when I started trying to make my first film after the financial crisis. After the our distribution model completely shifted, and it was such a tough time. Now it's better.
Yeah, timing. You told me your parents were still anxious. Do they feel good now?
I don't have a child yet, so.
Oh,
no.
Okay. Failure. Yeah.
Failure.
<I know.
laughs> Only child. I'm the only child.
Oh,
so
yeah.
I'm Chinese. Basically, I'm a failure. No grandkids.
Maybe later. You're busy. Chloe Zhao is the director, and Brady Jandrew is the star of The Writer. Thank you guys for coming in.
Thank you.
And that's The Business. Kim Masters will be back next week. Caitlin Parker produced and edited today's program with production assistance from Ray Guarna. You can subscribe to The Business as well as other great KCRW podcasts at kcrw.com/podcasts. I'm Michael Schneider. We'll see you next week on The Business.